Well, it's good to be with you tonight. Even though we are doing it electronically, we're all still here. We're having a good time in the Lord. I trust you are. And as Craig was saying, we're developing a plan in order to have safe distancing when we open the church back up. I can look down the pew and I see they got it marked off and they got marks for you're supposed to sit. And we've got it marked for families and then for singles. And we can get, because of the way this auditorium is, we can get a lot of people in here. And in fact, if we have to, we can add some chairs. So we're going to be able to, whenever they allow us to, and it looks like it's going to be within the next couple of weeks or so. We don't know for sure, but the first time they say we can, we will, because we can. We thank God for our big building. We can have it, and I'm excited about it. I'm excited to see you in person, not just through the electronics. You know, I want to talk to you tonight about the secret of thriving in difficult times. Now, you know, I mean, we're all tired of this coronavirus that's going around. But, you know, people are responding to this in many different ways. Some are protesting, some are complaining, some are depressed, some are fearful, and some people just giving up hope, just throwed up their hands and said, "It's not. We don't know what to do." You know, as I've observed all of this and watched on the television, it keeps coming to my mind, what does the Bible say to do in times of trouble? And I guess that's some of my dad coming out in me, because anytime you ask him, he would say, "Well, what does the Bible say?" And you know, we can learn from history, all right. All of you have heard the stories of the Depression from 1929, 1939. In fact, I was born in 39, just at the end of the Depression. And then we went into World War II as we were trying to come out of it. And I remember as a 3- and 4-year-old there, you know, and the war was going on and stuff was being rationed. And if you didn't have a ration book, and people, older people can remember this, and some of you kids might be able to remember that were kids during that time is what I meant. But if you didn't have this ration book with a stamp in it, you couldn't buy certain things, even at the grocery store. And I remember Dad said he was thankful that he was pastoring a church in the farmland in north central Texas, because we had all those farmers and they would bring us milk and eggs and ham and bacon, and we had food to eat, praise the Lord. But you can learn from this. As you look at some of the documentaries on this, you see that the stock market crashed and businesses went under and people even took their own lives. But what I also find interesting in this is that the fact that during these difficult times, others prevailed when others failed. And from this, we can learn that circumstances do not have to determine your outcome. And, you know, someone said, life is too short to learn everything by yourself. And I've told my kids and my grandkids, I said, learn, watch others and learn from them. If you learn what not to do, I teach in the Bible school, I teach this. You know, so tonight I want to look into the Bible and see what some of the characters in the Bible did when they went into difficulty. And as you see this, you'll see these giants of faith, they overcame circumstances in their life. And as they did, they had one prevailing attitude that got them through their difficulties. Okay, let's look at David. David rejoiced in the Lord when his enemies came against him. And you see this time and time again in his writings in the Psalms. But in Psalms 13:3, he says, "Consider and hear me, O Lord, my God. Enlighten my eyes, lest I sleep the sleep of death. Lest my enemies say, I have prevailed against him. Lest those who trouble me rejoice when I am moved. But I have trusted in your mercy. My heart shall rejoice in your salvation. I will sing to the Lord because he has dealt bountifully with me." And then again in Psalms 31:7, "I will be glad and rejoice in your mercy, for you have considered my trouble. You have known my soul in adversity." Now, if you've studied the life of David, you find out that he faced a lot of trouble. Starting out as a teenage boy, watching his father's sheep, he had to fight off wild animals that were trying to steal the sheep. Then he went around 17 years of age, he went to bring his brothers some food that was fighting the Philistines. And there was that Goliath, the giant, everybody else was afraid of, and he went out and fought him and won. All through his kingship, he was always fighting the Philistines, who were always coming against Israel. And he had to flee from King Saul, who was trying to kill him. And then he had to prevail over his own son that organized a coup and tried to steal his dad's throne. And yet he prevailed all over all of this. He learned to thrive in difficult times. You see, you have to learn how to thrive in difficult times. He did it. I want you to notice he kept talking about praising the Lord and giving glory to God. He said, I rejoice. And then we see the Apostle Paul. We begin to look at the Apostle Paul, and we see his life. And he endured quite a bit during his life, if you'll read it. I don't know how many. He was beaten and he was left for dead. He was thrown in prison. You know, and then in Philippians, when he wrote Philippians, he was in the prison there in Philippi. In fact, it was just 2 or 3 years ago that Lynette and I got to go there. I was over speaking at one of the Ramas. And I was in the area, and I said, "Hey, I'm not going to come to this area unless I get to see some of these things." Because usually when I go out to preach at the Ramas all over the world, I may land at noon, and they got me on the platform at 7, and all I do is see the inside of the hotel room, a restaurant, and the meeting hall, and back to the hotel room. They don't give me any time off, and so I said, I at least want one day off because I want to go and see some of these things. And we got to go to Thessalonica. We got to go to the ancient city of Philippi. And we saw what they think was the dungeon where he was in prison. And he wrote these words in Philippians 4:4, "Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice." You know, he repeated his instructions to rejoice over. In the good times, he said rejoice and then rejoice some more. In the bad times, we need to rejoice and then rejoice some more. You know, regardless of your circumstances, Paul learned to rejoice in what God was doing and in what God said he would do for him. Now, you notice that Paul, he faced adversity. He was in prison and he said, rejoice. And again, I say rejoice. Now that's something else, isn't it? And then let's look at James. Now, most of you know this, but James was the Lord's brother. And he pastored the church in Jerusalem. And he gave some instructions on how to get through trouble in life in James 1, beginning with verse number 2. My brothers, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. But let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. Now, he tells us here to count it joy when we find ourselves in a troublesome situation. He did not say that it will be a joyful situation, but he said, count it joyful. When you count it joyful, or count it as joy, I guess I should say, then we'll be able to thrive during these difficult situations that we find ourselves in. You know, as we look at these three men in the Bible, David, Paul, and James, they learned to rejoice regardless. Rejoice regardless of what they were facing, what they were going through. Now, I want you to notice something here. There was a common denominator or an attitude, a common attitude in David, Paul, and James. And it was, rejoice in the Lord regardless of what is going on or what is happening. You know, too many times people forget to rejoice in the Lord. You know, I guess I may be a little different than a lot of people because of the home I grew up in. My father, many of you know that he was recognized in the last century as one of the great leaders of the Pentecostal movement during the late 60s and 70s, 80s and 90s. And he never let anything bother him. He never allowed any circumstance that we were facing as I was growing up there and then in the home. He never complained. He always said, we stand on the word and rejoice, and we rejoice because God's word is true. Many times we would sit at a table and he'd say, son, just another opportunity. This is when I got to be about 14, 15. Son, just another opportunity to prove God's word works. You know, the secret of surviving during a difficult time is rejoicing in the Lord. Now let's go read about Paul in that Philippian jail, that dungeon, in Acts 16:19. Acts 16:19. But when her master saw that their hope of profit was gone, this is when Paul had cast the devil out of the girl, they seized Paul and Silas and dragged them into the marketplace to the authorities. They brought them to the magistrate and said, these men being Jews exceedingly trouble our city. And they teach customs which are not lawful for us, being Romans to receive or observe. Then the multitudes rose up against them, and the magistrates tore off their clothes and commanded them to be beaten with rods. And when they had laid many stripes on them, they threw them into the prison and commanded the jailer to keep them securely. Having received such a charge, he put them into the inner prison and fastened their feet in stocks. Now, here you go. Here we go. There was their situation. There was what that was what they were facing. They were, I would say, they were in sort of a troublesome time. But at midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the prisoners were listening to them. And suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken, and immediately all the doors were opened and everyone's chains were loosed. If anybody had a right to complain or blame, do the blame game, it would have been Paul and Silas. Silas could have blamed Paul for getting them in trouble. And Paul could have blamed Silas and said, well, you could have mapped out a better journey. We wouldn't even have had to come to this city. They could have complained about the situation. It says that they were beaten, and not with just one or two, but many stripes. And then they were put in the inner prison. And then they were chained securely. And they were in the dark, hurting, not knowing what's going to happen next. You know, when I think about our stay-at-home directive, it doesn't seem so bad compared to what Paul and Silas were going through. You know, one thing that I've learned in a few years of life, 80 years of life, that no matter how bad my situation is, there is always somebody that has a worse situation. You know, it's time you quit feeling sorry for yourself and start rejoicing in what the Lord has said in His Word about that we can be overcomers. Now, we look at Paul and Silas here. Instead of complaining, they began to sing praises. They began to rejoice. Now, they had no reason in the natural to rejoice. I mean, I don't see any reason in the natural as I read this whatsoever for them to be rejoicing. But they were. Somebody said, well, rejoicing in the Lord in a situation like that is just ridiculous. Was it? Another person said, well, that's not even logical. Really? Now, I want you to notice that they weren't singing quietly. It says the other prisons heard them. I'm sure even some of the prisoners, as well as the soldiers, probably thought, man, these guys are crazy. They're down there singing praises to their God. They're bleeding. They're hurting. They got no chance of ever getting out of here. But you see, they learned to tap into the biblical secret of thriving in difficult times. You know, God showed up and had the first jailhouse rock. When He rocked that state at that jail, until everybody's chains fell off, the doors fell down, and nobody was hurt. You know, just thinking about it for a minute, maybe you need to too. I believe maybe God would move more in our lives if we would rejoice more instead of complaining. Complaining and grumbling will only limit what God can do in your life. Why? Because it's out of agreement with the Word of God. Praising and rejoicing in the Lord is an expression of faith. It's actually demonstrating your faith. We talk about it all the time. Believe in your heart, say with your mouth. Well, When you begin, when you're in the middle of a tough situation and you begin to sing and praise God, that is a demonstration of your faith. You know, I have been sitting at home most of the time, only come in here to do these services and only come in to do some video when I have to. I sit in my office at home and I got my music on, and I was just today sitting there, and I got my special music. Everybody has music they like. Of course, I like that country gospel, and old Mike Perkey, he has some really good songs, and he was singing there. He was singing a song, "Whatever you're going through, you're going through." And I got to thinking about that. The problem with most people, when they get into, instead of thinking about going through it, they begin to think about, oh my, what's going to happen to me? I just begin to think, he just kept, it's all said, whatever you're going through, you're going through. And that's what I'm going to do. Whatever I go through, I'm going through with the Word of God, because God's Word says it. You know, when we rejoice in the Lord, it allows God to move in our lives, because we are speaking in line with the promises of God. And as I said a while ago, praising and rejoicing is an expression of our faith. Now, as we've said before, the biblical secret for thriving in times of difficulty, in every situation, whatever it is, of course, we're all facing this coronavirus right now, but you also may be facing other situations, other difficult situations. And as life goes on, and we will get through this, and as life goes on, you're going to find other difficult situations. You get through all of them by learning how to rejoice in the Lord, the secret. Now let's go to Philippians 4:11. Philippians 4:11. Now that I speak in regard to the need, not that I speak in regard to the need, for I have learned in whatever state I am to be content. I know how to be abased. I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things, I've learned both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ. This is 4:13 now. I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. I want you to notice that he is talking about where he's been, what he's been through, and then he ends it up by saying, I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. Now, let's read that in the NLT, because it reads it, maybe we can understand it a little better in the NLT. In the NLT, it says, not that I was ever in need, for I have learned how to be content with whatever I have. I know how to live on almost nothing or with everything. And then it says, I've learned the secret of living in every situation, whether it is with a full stomach or empty, with plenty or little. For I can do everything through Christ who gives me strength. Paul is talking about what he has gone through in his life. Now, you got to remember that he wrote Philippians while he was in prison. And he was talking about the circumstances of life that he had gone through. And he made a statement here. He said, I've learned. You know, that tells me that it didn't come natural for him. But he learned this behavior that developed into a deliverer for him. delivering him from what the enemy had brought to him, and that was by rejoicing. And then he knew, and we get this from his teaching, he knew it was temporary. He learned to make a conscious decision daily to rejoice in the Lord, not in his circumstances. He learned to look at what God had promised him rather than what was happening in his life at the moment. This is what we've got to learn to do in times of tough situations. We've got to learn to look at God's promises instead of our situation and our circumstance. We've got to learn to daily make a decision to boldly. We have to learn to make a decision to boldly. I'm going to say it again. What Psalms 118:24 says, this is the day the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. We need to keep in mind that our situation is temporary. Remember, this too shall pass, and any other situation you find yourself in, it will pass. The question is, how are you going to come out of this difficult situation? You know, we watch on TV and they have devastation and stuff is happening and going on, and everybody wondering if anybody's going to survive. And then out of the rubble comes the star, and he got his shirt torn and it's bloody and he's staggering, but he come out, you know, barely able to walk. Hey, when this is all over, when your situation, whether it be this or something else, when it's all over, will we come out stumbling out with our faith beat up, barely able to hold up our head to look at God's promises? Are we will come out of this difficult situation better than before because we have learned to rejoice? I'm talking about learning to thrive in difficult situations. I'm not talking about just surviving or barely making it. I'm talking about coming out on the other side and living the abundant life. You know, some people want to tell you, when you meet them, they want to tell you all that they've gone through. Oh, my Lord, you don't know what I've been through. And they want to give you a blow-blow-blow account of their medical history. And they want to give you a vivid picture of how the devil has attacked them. Hey, turn it around. Give a vivid picture of how God has delivered you or will deliver you, because that's what the Bible says. You know, we need to talk about how God has helped us to overcome. You know, as I come to a close of this tonight, a friend of mine, Roger McDuff, back in, I don't know, the 80s, I think it was, he used to sing a song called Bigger Than Any Mountain. And I went and I got the lyrics to it, and I'm going to read the whole thing to you. All right? It says, bigger than any problem, bigger than all my fears. I'd sing it, but I can hear him singing it. I'd sing it if I could. Bigger than all my problems, bigger than all my fears. God is bigger than any mountain that I can or cannot see. Bigger than all my questions, bigger than anything. God is bigger than any mountain that I can or cannot see. He's bigger than all the shadows that fall across my path. Bigger than any mountain that I can or cannot see. Bigger than my confusion, bigger than anything. God is bigger than any mountain that I can or cannot see. Bigger than all my problems, bigger than all my fears. God is bigger than any mountain that I can or cannot see. Bigger than all my questions, bigger than anything. God is bigger than any mountain that I can or cannot see. He's bigger than all the giants of fear and unbelief. Bigger than all my hang-ups, bigger than anything. God is bigger than any mountain that I can or cannot see. Bigger than all my problems, bigger than all my fears. God is bigger than any mountain that I can or cannot see. Bigger than all my questions, bigger than anything. God is bigger than any mountain I can or cannot see. That's got some pretty good lyrics right there. We need to declare daily, my Heavenly Father takes good care of me no matter what is happening. He's bigger than anything I can or cannot see. Both David and Paul gave similar testimonies concerning all the situations they face. Psalms 34:19. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers him out of them all. That's David. Then Paul in 2 Timothy 3:11. Persecutions, afflictions which happened to me at Antioch, at Iconium, and Lystra. What persecutions I endured. And out of them all, the Lord delivered me. No doubt, these guys, David, Paul, faced difficult situations. And in no way do we want to try to say that their situations weren't real. Today we are facing many difficult situations, and I'm not denying what you're going through is not real. But I tell you, my God and your God is bigger than any mountain or anything that you can or cannot see. The secret is, how do you come out of your trouble situation? I'll tell you how. It's very simple, very easy. Lift your hands wherever you're at and begin to rejoice and praise God and thank God that he's bigger than coronavirus. He's bigger than death. He's bigger than sickness. He's bigger than defeat. He's bigger than anything that you can or cannot see. Hallelujah. I don't know about you, but I done got me happy. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Thank God, thank God. Heavenly Father, I thank you tonight. As people have listened to my words, I thank you that they begin to take heart and begin to rejoice. Father, not only in this situation, because this will pass, but they're going to face other situations. And they need to learn how to rejoice in those situations because they too will pass. I thank you tonight, Father, in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Listen, if I was here in this service, I never like to preach a service. And I don't give an opportunity for somebody to find Jesus or rededicate their life to you. If you were here and we had a congregation, I'd ask you to come forward and I'd pray with you. But you're not, but you're there. So we're going to do it this way. If you need Christ as your Savior, if you need to rededicate your life to God, you know you had faith, but you lost your faith in God, and you're just not where you're supposed to be. Pray this prayer with me, please. Heavenly Father, thank you for your Son, Jesus. I believe that he came and he died for my sin and he rose again and he sits in heaven right now. You said in your holy word, if I would believe that in my heart and confess it with my mouth, I will be saved. You heard me confess with my mouth and I believe in my heart. And I thank you now that I'm a new person in Christ Jesus. Amen and amen and amen. Hey, if you prayed that prayer with us for the first time or prayed that prayer with us in rededication, would you just go to your computer and go to partnerservices@rhema.org and tell us about it? Praise the Lord. We thank you for being with us today. We'll be right here on Sunday morning. Come believing, come expecting. And they're going to sing something as we go out of here tonight. So God bless you. We'll see you Sunday.